Welcome to Sports Med Res's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. This past week, we had two posts on sportsmedres.org. That's res.org. The first post discussed a study where the authors found that a reduced perception of recovery during a season may increase the risk of acute and overuse injury. The second post was about a study where the authors found that a patient who is young or has a meniscal injury is more likely to have an anterior cruciate ligament surgery, either early or delayed. This week, I invited back Kyle Harris from Temple University to discuss an article where the authors reported that former collegiate athletes who participated in collision sports reported lower quality of life when compared to contact or limited contact athletes. Kyle Harris is a regular contributor to sportsmedres.org.
Welcome, Kyle.
Thanks, Jeff.
So, Kyle, I was wondering if you could give us a brief rundown of this study.
Sure, Jeff. The article we're discussing today by Simon and Doherty, which was published in the Journal of Athletic Training, looked at 374 former athletes from a Division I university. All athletes completed demographic questionnaires, as well as some health-related quality of life questionnaires. And what the researchers found was that athletes that participated in collision sports reported a lower overall quality of life than athletes that participated in either contact or limited contact sports.
So, Kyle, taking into consideration the findings of this study, what do you think we should be doing differently with our current college athletes?
You know, Jeff, that's a great question. I think what we need to be really considering as clinicians with college-level athletics isn't so much the day-to-day operations as it is our overall levels of support for our athletes, especially looking at the results of this study, looking at collision athletes, as well as providing different programs to help support them both while they're playing sport during their college career, as well as helping them to transition out of the college athletic realm and into life.
So it's interesting because it might also mean that we need to have different education programs for our contact, primarily football, but our football players versus some of our contact or limited contact athletes, just because the limited contact athletes, for example, seem to be have less diminished quality of life than the general population and may actually have been doing slightly better.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great point. And I think that of these collision sports, and in the study, there were 124 of these athletes, and as you noted before, were primarily football players. I think that we really need to look at how we address injuries with these athletes, how we counsel them, and how those injuries are going to impact them on the long-term scale, which I think is something that we all as clinicians could be better aware of.
So with that in mind, did the authors discuss anywhere in the paper the possible implications or meaning of injuries and playing professional level athletics compared to those that didn't meet those criteria?
You know, unfortunately not. And that was something that I made a note of in the conclusion paragraph of the post. But I think that one of the really limiting factors of this study was the fact that they really didn't take note of if these athletes went on to play professionally, and if they did, how long. So we have to assume that some of these collision athletes, primarily looking at football athletes, could have participated and had very long professional careers, which would then equate to more wear and tear on the body, which would then decrease overall quality of life. But by not breaking that down, it really doesn't allow us to make that connection just yet.
It'll be interesting to see how this research moves forward, because you can imagine that this collision group is having higher risk of lower quality of life because either they're playing longer in professional or semi-professional leagues afterwards, because we know that football is definitely has opportunities to play beyond college, or, as you're saying, injury, because it looks like from the study that about 78% of the athletes reported an injury severe enough to cause them to miss playing time. So it's interesting to see how this unfolds, because obviously we'll have to disentangle some of this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the things moving forward, we're to really be looking rather at the breakdown of collision versus contact versus non-contact or limited contact. I think looking at just the individual sports by themselves would really give us a much better understanding of the sport's impact on the body.
I think I agree, and I think one of the nice things about this study is it also starts to be another step towards raising awareness for us to think about our athletes' wellness later in life. I think you and I have worked together on some of the osteoarthritis papers that have been published in the Journal of Athletic Training, and this is another example of another reason for us to think long-term about our athletes. So while the sports medicine community has been thinking about neurocognitive issues later in life for a long time, last few years, hopefully studies like this will start raising awareness about the wellness of our athletes later in life. So it's an interesting study from that point of view, but it gives us another reason that in a community where people are often focused on returning to play today, we as the first line of defense on the medical team need to be the ones thinking about tomorrow. And I think your post really highlighted that well.
I couldn't agree more with that statement. And I think that I'm happy to see some of these articles being published in the Journal of Athletic Training as well, because I really think that one of the key elements of starting this counseling process and understanding and educating our athletes on the long-term implications of injury in sport, we really have to touch a younger clinical population. So focusing on a lot of the student population now to see this and have them start thinking long-term now, I think only helps us as a profession better prepare.
Great. I think that's a nice way of highlighting to the future of athletic training and sports medicine in prevention and wellness maintenance. It's not just about today, it's about tomorrow. Thanks, Kyle, for coming on today.
Thanks, Jeff.
Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. For example, this past week, our social media posts included a news article about a study where the authors found that neuromuscular warm-ups in youth soccer may help prevent injuries and cut healthcare costs. And if you're an athletic trainer who's looking to get an early start with evidence-based practice CEUs, then please check out our 4 online courses available through the Human Kinetics website, and we'll provide links to those on our podcast website. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.